Bible, and it adds a lot to the ordinary Bibles because it gives you understanding. Just let me read this to you. The Acts of the Apostles is the continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Its chief purpose is to tell how Jesus' early followers, led by the Holy Spirit, spread the good news about him in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is the story of the Christian movement as it began among the Jewish people and went on to become a faith for the whole world. The writer was also concerned to reassure his readers that Christians were not a subversive political threat to the Roman Empire, and that the Christian faith was the fulfillment of the Jewish religion. And so we turn to those words on this Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let's just picture those 12 disciples. One of their crowd, of course, was missing, and that was Judas. And we know that Judas, when he handed Jesus over to the authorities, couldn't bear what he'd done and what happened. I always feel sorry for Judas, because I think maybe his intentions were good, really. He wanted to force the hand of Jesus, but it didn't work. And he watched in horror as Jesus let himself be taken prisoner. And he killed himself. He just couldn't cope with what he'd done. But over these past weeks, as we do every year, we look at those times. We look at Jesus and what he went through. We remember how he called those men to be with him. Very, very different men, as we're all very different people. And he called them to follow him. We know there were two sets of brothers, James and John's and Peter and Andrew. And they've left the only life they'd ever known to follow him. I wonder whether they'd heard him before and were curious of him anyway. Whether he'd spoken to them before, we don't know. We use our God-given imagination. But they left, as I say, the only life they'd ever known, and they followed him. And then there were the others. But of course, one was now missing from their number. As I said, Judas had killed himself. And so we read these words. There were two men, Joseph and Matthias. And they prayed and they wanted somebody to take the place of Judas. And it was Matthias who was chosen. I feel sorry for Joseph. What happened to him? Did he join the group and go with them anyway? But think of it. These were real people like you and me. There they were. And Jesus was dead, buried, gone. But they knew better. They knew that Jesus was risen from death itself. I like to think of those disciples, perhaps including Mary in their group from time to time, going to her house, sharing stories of Jesus. But they were frightened men, really, because they knew that if the authorities could kill Jesus, they could certainly kill them. But because we're here this morning, we know that their faith was strong, that they called others. And many of those early Christians were killed because of their faith. But we see them in this reading that we heard, gathered together, praying. And then Jesus came and stood amongst them. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And then in our reading, we heard about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And whatever happened in that room, it changed them from frightened men into men who had a message. And they went out into the surrounding areas, preaching, teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But they must have sometimes remembered when he was with them in flesh as well as spirit. They must have remembered times and talked about them. We talk about old times, don't we? Days past. Many of us share memories from many, many years ago. It's what we do, and it's a wonderful thing to share. But remember that these people didn't know what we know. They didn't know what was going to happen to the world because of Jesus. We are here today because of them, because they told the message as the Spirit had given them the words, had given them strength and courage. But we today, of course, we don't face that, do we? We can just go along in our own little way and not tell other people what we do. I wonder how many of our friends and neighbours know that we come to church. I remember years ago, we all knew our neighbours then. We would go and have coffee and tea and chat and whatever. The children would play with each other. And I know that two houses next to me down, we took a fence panel down so the children could all play and come in each other's gardens. And it was wonderful. But today, I don't know. I've got students one side, five I think, and the most I can get from them is morning or whatever. Not else. You can't talk to them and have conversations with them. But they come and they go. And then the other side of me, I've got no idea who lives there, except this past week, the door was knocked very loudly, and so I thought I'd better answer. I don't always if I'm comfy and don't want to move. But I went, and there was this young boy saying, "I'm sorry, I live next door. I've locked myself out, but I know the fence is broken. So can I come through your house and get home?" "Yeah, of course you can." But we chatted, and it was nice to see him. But it's not as it used to be. What to ask us ourselves, all of us, a question. When was the last time you talked to anyone apart from at church, as I say, about Jesus? I've probably told you this before, but you won't remember. Many years ago, before my accident, I was marching through, going somewhere, rushing back to work, one lunch hour late, and I was dashing back, and I smiled at a lady, as I smile at lots of people. And my mum used to say, "You'll be getting into trouble one day if you do that." But I smiled, and this lady said, "Excuse me, dear, do I know you?" And I said, "No." She said, "But you smiled at me." And I said, "Well, yes. Why?" Now, in that moment, in actual fact, I was praying. And I told her that I was praying. And then she said something that I never want to forget. She said, "You're the first person I've spoken to for a month." Because she lived in a high-rise block of flats. People came and went, but they didn't see each other. And I thought, and I've never forgotten, how sad that is. I drive a car now, which is not so good as my old scooter. Occasionally I take my old scooter out, and I can talk to people. But in a car, you're in a little box, aren't you? And you can't smile and do whatever you want to. But sometimes you do get an opportunity to speak. But do we use it? These early disciples were frightened, really frightened. But Jesus was with them and they knew that. So they took their courage from him and they told people of their Lord, their risen, living Lord. What exciting times those must have been, but frightening times. It's not dangerous for us to be Christians. Who cares? Who knows? But we know as we look at each other why we are here today. We are here to praise and to worship, to remember that first Pentecost when they were given God's Spirit to urge them on. We are given God's Spirit. But are we aware of that? I remember going to New Haven many years ago to take a special service. And there was a very well-dressed man in the front row. I can see him now. Such a lovely guy. And we talked afterwards over a cup of tea. And I'm assuming we do that, do we? We have a cup of tea later? Do we? Oh, thank you, Barbara. We do. Good. Yes, I saw you preparing it all. But you know, this guy was there and he said that one day he wanted to talk to me afterwards and he told me why he was there. And he said that he was a chap of the street. He had nowhere to live, nothing. And he was going by this church and he was very badly dressed, dirty. And he just felt that he had to go in. But he didn't want to, but he did, because he just felt this overpowering power. And he went in the church. And he said people made him so welcome, as if he was the best dressed man there. And they talked to him and shared with him. And it changed his life forever. And he said, and I drive people mad now because I go and I stop people in the street and say, do you know the Lord? And I said, has anybody hit you yet? No. But just imagine this. When was the last time we told anyone that we come to church, as I say? Those early disciples have been through much. They watched Jesus crucified. Imagine that, their friend who changed their lives, and they watched as nails were hammered through those hands and feet. We have our crosses, some wear them. On this jacket, I haven't got one, but sometimes I do wear one with a little cross. And it's fascinating. I was sitting on a bench at Rottingdean, listening and watching the children playing in the sea. And I sat next to this lady and we chatted. And she said to me, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, how do you know that? And she said, oh, I've been to Woodindine Church and you came there one day. And so we got talking. And it was wonderful to share together. But we talked and said how hard it is in this day and age to be a Christian, to be like these disciples who felt the power of Jesus within them, who trusted him enough to go and preach and teach, even if they might be killed. But that's what they did. They had no choice because Jesus had called them. I love to read the stories of those early disciples and how different they all were, as we're all very, very different to each other. But we are here for one reason. No, for many reasons, to praise and to worship and to be with each other and over tea later chat and listen to each other. 28 years ago on the 3rd of December, I'm sorry because some of you will know the story, but I was nearly killed by a car. I should be dead, really, as my friends remind me occasionally at Stamford Avenue, two in particular. But I knew that the car was going to hit me, and I was just stepping onto the curb. So what was he doing that close? I worked for a group of doctors at the time for about 20 years, and we have wonderful times. And, oh, you're all right. Oh dear, what happened? You fall off a chair. But we I forget what I was saying. Who can remind me? Well done. I do that occasionally. Yes, working for these doctors, and they were all lovely. But I remember upstairs there were three doctors, two nurses, and people were sitting there waiting to go in. And nobody talked to each other, they just sat there. And I said to them at one point, they couldn't see me because I was behind a high desk, and I got up and I went out and I said to them, you can talk to each other, you know. And some of them looked horrified, but they did. And they talked and they laughed, and it was wonderful. But let me go back to that lady that I met in the street and said she hadn't talked to anyone for a month because she lived in a high-rise block of flats. And we just talked. And when I went to work, they said, you're 20 minutes late. Yes, I know, but I'm all right. But that was sharing what the Lord was doing for me. And sometimes it made me laugh. And I must just tell you this, when I was a Butlin's Red Coat many, many, many years ago, and I was the only Christian in the Red Coat group. And it was amazing how different they, especially the guys, they were towards me. You know, where somebody would go to swear, shh, wind's here, can't swear. And I thought, great, that's only one thing. But you see, you talk about your faith, don't you? Do you? When was the last time you actually spoke to someone about your faith? We sang this hymn a little while ago. We sang, he sent me to give good news to the poor, tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Go tell everyone, we sang, and you played and enjoyed. Go tell everyone the news that the God's kingdom has come. And the last verse, don't worry what you have to say. Don't worry, because on that day God's Spirit will speak in your heart. Will speak in your heart. But for that to happen, of course, we've got to listen. I remember many years ago here, some will remember, in the old building, it was Reverend John Tudor's memorial service. And the church was overflowing. We were in the hall. It was wonderful. And afterwards, we were queuing to sign the condolence book. And it was a long queue. And the woman behind me said to the man behind her, can you give me a lift to the station, please? He said, I haven't got my car. So I said, oh, I've got mine. Oh, great. I'll stick with you then, she said. And I said to her, do I know you? You look vaguely familiar. And she said, well, I used to be Janet Scott. Remember? Many of you, Barbara remembers. Good, she's my age. Oh, no, I'm older than you. All right, okay, I know you're younger. But just think for a moment. There we were. And here we are. This lady, Janet Scott, said, oh no, I said to her, I remember your mum. Once, many years ago, on a television programme, I think it was probably Terry Wogan, And she said she prayed. Thora heard. And Thora heard, Janet Scott's mum, was almost being laughed at, made a fool of, hopefully. And he said, when do you pray? You said you pray, when do you pray? And Thora heard, said, all the time, dear, all the time. And I know what she meant. And so I gave Janet Scott a lift to the station, and it was a very long journey for some reason. The traffic was very heavy, but we talked about her mum, and I was able to tell her that story and said that I talk about your mum, and I talk about that quite often. But just think for a moment. When and how did Jesus change your lives? When did he call you to follow him? When did you feel you needed to come, as you have this morning, to be with people who think like you do? Many of those early disciples lost their lives because of their faith. But thank God for them. Because the word came down to us, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't be here. The world would be a very, very different place. But now, of course, it's our turn. You and I have got to take the knowledge that we have, and the love that we feel, and the forgiveness that we feel. We've got to take this out into this part of the world in which we live. It won't be easy, and many of us perhaps won't bother. But we've got to do it. How else is the news of Jesus to be carried on? So, dare we do it? Dare we be like those Christians? Still he calls, he cares and pleasures. Still he calls. I want to, before we sing our first hymn, which we'll sing twice, okay? Twice, thank you. I want to read this. I'm sure many of you have come across this. Footprints, have you? Barbara's got, you've got one. Just listen to these words. Footprints. Picture the scene, if you will. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed that he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed that there were two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and one belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand and noticed that many times along the way, when he was at his lowest, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And this really bothered him. And he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand. When I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you. I would never leave you. During those times of trial and suffering, when you see just one set of footprints, that's when I was carrying you. Look back over your lives. When I was in hospital for 3 months, so many people came to visit me. It was amazing and wonderful. But one of my best friends didn't come. And I knew why. She was a very proud lady, and she didn't show her emotions at all. And I knew that if she came, she was frightened of crying, because I was in a terrible state. And I said one Friday, when a few ministers were there, I think there were five ministers at one point, and it was really funny, because I used to say, which one of you is going to say the prayer? And they all looked at each other, you know, but it was wonderful. But just remembering those times, and I said, I need to see her. And one of the ministers said, I'll tell her. The next day she was there with me. And sure enough, holding my hand, sat there sobbing. But it was wonderful, and she came then very, very regularly. But times, as we look back on our lives when it's been hard, he's always there. He's always with us. And he carries us. Now, in a minute, we're going to sing these words. It's a very short hymn, so we'll sing it twice. We're going to sing these words. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.